Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from Carson City on the broadcast today. Assemblymember Democratic Selena Torres Fawcett. She's here for the whole show on all new Nevada Newsmakers.
When in Carson City, Nevada Newsmakers records in the conference room of the Nevada Builders Alliance. Coverage of the 2025 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, Workers' Comp, that works for you. NV Energy, proudly serving Nevada, providing electricity to 2.4 million electric customers. The Retail Association of Nevada, looking out for business. And by Story County, helping build Nevada's future.
Like a traditional handmade basket, retail is woven into the fabric of life in Nevada. From big box to mom and pop, retail supports our communities in countless ways. Jobs for the disabled, team uniforms for kids, help for the elderly, and so much more. Retail employs over 1 in 10 workers. Retail supports Nevada, and we support retail.
RANNV.org.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
A power line is more than a power line. It's maintaining the bottom line for small businesses. It's keeping the assembly line moving for our workforce. For our brightest minds, it's meeting a deadline. It's on the front line with our heroes. And on the sidelines of the biggest games. It's a direct line to our loved ones. And it's a lifeline for the most vulnerable. There's a lot on the line.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from Carson City. We're at the home of the Nevada Builders Alliance, and we're delighted to be joined once again by Assemblymember Selena Torres Fawcett, the Democrat from District 3. Pleasure to have you back on the program.
Thank you. Thank you for welcoming me back.
You are very welcome. Your Tuesday meeting of the Assembly Education Committee, which you chair, saw a packed house of Nevada high school and middle school girls, and some testified in favor of AB 240, which would prohibit biological males from competing in women's sports. Many say that this is about stopping transgender athletes from playing in women's sports, and this has become a key issue for Lieutenant Governor Stavros Antony. He tweeted about Tuesday's education committee saying, "We must pass legislation in Nevada to protect them from biological men who want to play in their sport. Not fair, not right, not safe." Your thoughts?
During the campaign season, I spent a lot of time at the doors talking to Nevada voters, and this isn't an issue that Nevada voters were talking to me about. They were talking to me about the affordability for housing. They were talking to me about the increase in prescription costs. They were talking to me about how the cost of goods here in the state of Nevada has continued to go up. Whether or not students identify as a woman in sports was not an issue that Nevada voters were prioritizing. This legislative session, I'm committed to working on legislation that makes sense for Nevada and will improve the overall quality of life for Nevadans. And quite honestly, this piece of legislation is not that. Additionally, I think that the Lieutenant Governor's office has other responsibilities that they need to be focusing on, and it's disappointing to see our state resources being allocated towards this political effort when we have things that Nevada needs. And quite honestly, Lieutenant Governor's office should be working on small business advocacy, and that's where they should be investing their time, not on creating political rallies for their campaign for their next big office.
How big of a problem do you think this is in Nevada?
By trade, I'm an educator. This is not an issue that our you know, high school athletics are seeing, but what is an issue that our athletics are seeing is the constant challenge of whether or not a student is feminine enough to be on that women's sports team or masculine enough to be on that team. And I think, quite honestly, we're creating a situation where it almost seems like the only possible solution would be to have an adult coach in the locker room determining whether or not the genitalia of that student is appropriate for them to compete on that team. I think that ultimately this is a decision for coaches to decide what they want to do with their players and for them to determine, you know, that this is a good athlete that deserves to be on their team. And this isn't a decision that we should be legislating, and definitely isn't something Lieutenant Governor has any business discussing.
What would you think about the idea then of not just concerns about whether somebody is the appropriate sex, but being equal and saying that everybody should have the genitalia examined? I think that would cause a furor.
You know, I definitely agree with that. I heard recently of a student that identifies as a boy and is continuing to compete in women's athletics, which is doing exactly what the other side is often asking for. They're competing in their gender assigned, their birth assigned by gender in that category for sports. Nonetheless, coaches are screaming at them, asking for copies of their birth certificate. So I guess it's just begging the question, what is considered feminine enough and what is considered masculine enough? And ultimately, I think that we should just let our kids play. And I think that this is just causing a distraction from the real issues everyday Nevadans are facing.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back much more after this timeout.
Fantastic cocktails and delicious food. It's a good time to eat. Over 500 hot slots plus electronic table games.
It's a good time to play.
Player rewards and big time jackpots.
A good time to win.
Ooh, your good times are train wreck.
Welcome to the Ahern Boutique Hotel, where luxury and warmth come together in the heart of Las Vegas.
We take pride in offering a one-of-a-kind experience for both locals and tourists.
Join us for handcrafted cocktails and an unforgettable experience.
Joel's Chop House, the perfect place to savor views of the Las Vegas Strip.
Satisfy your cravings at the Ahern Chocolate Shop.
No smoking, no resort fees, and the parking is always free. The Ahern Luxury Boutique Hotel is your home away from home.
Meet Nevada Health Link, Nevada's official health insurance marketplace. Your link to savings, selection, free assistance, and name brand health insurance, where 90% of enrollees lower the cost of their monthly premium. Everyone deserves access to quality health coverage, no matter your income or family size. Visit NevadaHealthLink.com. A few minutes could save you hundreds of dollars per month.
Nevada Health Link. Our plans are made for your plans.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's development company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Assemblymember Selena Torres-Fawcett, Democrat of District 3. Last week, President Trump ordered the dismantling of the U.S. Department of Education, and on Monday, he was sued by the American Federation of Teachers, the NAACP, and others, saying the plan is an attempt by Trump to evade the authority of Congress. As the chair of the Assembly Education Committee, what do you make of this?
The U.S. Department of Education plays a really important role in holding states accountable to the laws that are created by the federal government and ensuring that in our classrooms we're serving generally vulnerable student populations. So that means that our Title I schools, where they have historically disenfranchised communities and students that are socioeconomically disadvantaged, then we're also serving our special education student populations, we're serving our students that are English language learners. And the U.S. Department of Education is responsible for enforcing those laws and ensuring that we are providing those students with the supports that they deserve and the supports that are legally required. By dismantling the U.S. Department of Education, it is essentially dismantling the agency that is responsible for enforcing those laws. And so the consequence, if Trump gets his way, would be that block grants were administered to the state to do what they want. Now, when we do what we want, it's important that states are still supporting those student populations based on the very evolving conversation that we're having with the federal government. There would be nothing in place that requires us to be using those funds to support these programs like what is currently required. And even if we change departments that are responsible for that oversight, there would, based on what the Trump has said to this date, which could change and continues to change every single moment, we would not be responsible for using the funds to support those programs.
Okay, but you have confidence in the Department of Education in the state to do what is right. And I mean, Joan Ebert has run a terrific Department of Education, has gotten great praise from everybody, and is now the superintendent of the Clark County School District, which I think was a brilliant move. Do you not have faith in the State Department of Education?
Well, I have faith in the Nevada Department of Education. I think it's important that the U.S. Department of Education provides our state as well as the other 49 states with guidance on how those funds should be used. It also ensures that the proper allocation is appropriated to each school that serves whatever population is a recipient determined based on which grants it is. Additionally, I have heard conversations that it could change how we compete for this funding as well, which could be a very real challenge for Nevada if we were to receive less funds than what we currently receive for education.
The day after the order, the president announced that the Small Business Administration would assume control of the government's $1.6 trillion student loan portfolio, and Health and Human Services would oversee nutrition programs and special education services. So they're just, it seems, you know, since President Reagan, they've been trying to get rid of the Department of Education. So this is nothing new. But if they're utilizing the money through other departments, does that not ease your thoughts at that point?
Current federal laws require that the enforcing agent is the U.S. Department of Education. If we defund the U.S. Department of Education, then every single federal law that requires that schools are providing these supports for students is no longer enforced at a federal level, which is a real challenge for me because I do believe that every child deserves access to a high-quality education, regardless of where they come from, regardless of their abilities, regardless of the language that they speak at home. And so ultimately, this is removing the enforcing agent that ensures that this oversight, that ensures oversight in each state. And while I have faith in the Nevada Department of Education, I do not think that we should rely on faith. We should rely on systems and procedures that we know work, and the U.S. Department of Education works. Additionally, they give the schools guidance. As a school leader, when we are determining how we're going to spend Title I funds, there's only certain things that we can use those Title I's for. This completely changes that. I mean, if we were to receive just a block grant, then we could use those funds for anything. I fear that this could remove some of the supports that students in historically disenfranchised communities are receiving right now.
You've got AB 176, which is about ensuring that reproductive health care remains accessible, fair, and protected from excessive government interference. Explain this, if you would.
So AB 176 is a right to contraception. This piece of legislation is something that I worked on last legislative cycle that was ultimately vetoed by the governor. So I brought it back. I did make some amendments that I think that I'm hoping will get this bill signed by the governor and across the finish line. And ultimately, this piece of legislation says that local governments and state agencies are not able to put any laws in place that ban our access to reproductive health care. That includes things like our contraception, IVF, miscarriage, prenatal care, postnatal care, etc. This is something, unfortunately, that a conversation that we have to have as we're seeing local governments across the nation that are taking up ordinances that would make it more difficult to access. Things like contraception and this piece of legislation just protects that access here in the state of Nevada.
Are there any counties that are doing that right now or jurisdictions?
Well, we haven't heard of any conversations here in Nevada of this happening. Obviously, with the just changing nature of what is going on at a federal level, this is an important conversation for us to have now so that we can prepare for what may come now that Roe v. Wade has been overturned.
All right, let's take another break and we'll be right back after this timeout.
Welcome to Story County, where history meets innovation, and a pioneering spirit continues to shape our future. At the heart of the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, we power the future with global leaders in technology and manufacturing, driving progress that reaches far beyond our county lines. From advanced manufacturing to tech innovation, our industries are creating thousands of quality careers, fueling a vibrant economy that benefits every Nevadan. But it's more than just growth. Our community is our foundation, supporting families, empowering local initiatives, and creating a place where everyone belongs. Be part of a legacy built on bold ideas and boundless possibilities. Join us in building a brighter future right here in Story County. Story County, helping build Nevada's future.
Save money and take transit. Did you know you can ride the bus all day for less than what it would cost you for a gallon of gas? Plan your trip now by going to rtcwashoe.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Assemblymember Democrat Selena Torres-Fawcett of District 3. Fixing Nevada's teacher licensing system. Explain what the problem is and how you want to fix it.
As an educator, I'm very passionate about ensuring that we're streamlining the process to becoming an educator here in the state of Nevada. I have worked with many educators that are phenomenal educators. They provide high quality instruction and their students grow. I've reviewed their data. Unfortunately, what we see very often is that a teacher is given a license and they're in our classrooms and they're doing phenomenal jobs and they get a provisional license. And so that means that in order for them to keep teaching, they have to do certain things. And so one of those things is they have to take and pass one of these exams. When we look at the principles of learning and teaching exam that our teachers are required to take, many teachers do struggle. And quite honestly, that exam is looking at the different pedagogy approaches to teaching. And it's not looking at whether or not a teacher is able to present information in a way that makes sense for students. It's not looking at their ability to scaffold and differentiate. It's just presenting that information and asking them to choose which answer is correct. And then it's giving them some type of lesson plan that they have to create in a limited period of time. And it might be out of the scope. They might be an English teacher taking the test like I was, and they get assigned a lesson in math that they have to create within a certain period of time. Many teachers struggle with that. And so this piece of legislation would instead, if a teacher has taken that test and they have failed, they can participate in a mentorship program at one of the universities here in the state of Nevada. And once they are complete with that mentorship program and have proven that they are an exceptional or highly exceptional teacher on the performance framework that we use here in the state of Nevada, if they can do that two times in a row, then that teacher would be able to remove that provision off their license and be a fully licensed teacher here in Nevada.
And one of the problems, you know, we see every year that there's 700-800 teacher shortage in Clark County, for example. This would only make sense to be able to increase the number of teachers that we could get. But do you also look at this as in other fields where people, doctors, nurses, and others have qualifications in other states and other countries where they could come here? And because we have shortages of everything in Nevada, we always have.
Yeah, we're having that conversation this legislative session. I know that a couple of my colleagues have brought bills to allow for licensure for medical professionals that are coming from other countries, just to make sure that they're, you know, we're recognizing that, you know, education across the world can be high quality, not just here in the United States. And if they come to us with this knowledge and this experience and these abilities, then we should be utilizing them in this workforce as much as possible.
You're the primary sponsor of the Ghost Kitchens Bill, AB 116. What is it, and what's the problem?
AB 116 is a piece of legislation that is really targeting the issue of ghost kitchens, but then also of essentially these fraudulent restaurants.
What is a ghost kitchen?
So ghost kitchen, it's funny because I just had this conversation with a family member the other day. I guess they were on Uber Eats and they made an order and they thought they were getting it from a burrito place. And then they went and they decided to do pickup. So they go and they go to go pick up the food. What they didn't know is this food was actually being made at Denny's. They thought this was from like a burrito spot. So obviously a ghost kitchen then is like this it like makes itself look like a restaurant. Sometimes they're just like in a like a parking lot of like a business complex or something like that, and they have no like signage, and they have multiple restaurants that are operating in one space. This piece of legislation essentially says that an individual that creates this fraudulent restaurant and they put it on Uber Eats, if that were to occur, and you know, an app like Uber Eats or any other food delivery service provider like DoorDash or Grubhub, if they have this on there and somebody orders, that there is some type of penalty for Uber Eats for allowing for this business to exist. So in Las Vegas, what we saw is very like respected businesses like Esther's Kitchen, which doesn't need the business of an Uber Eats. They're busy enough as it
sure.
is. I've
tried to get a reservation.
to get a table. And so Esther's Kitchen appeared on Uber Eats. People thought they were ordering from Esther's Kitchen. The menu even looked like Esther's Kitchen. It used the logo of Esther's Kitchen. They weren't.
Really? Okay.
These food delivery service platfors have the responsibility to check and make sure that these are legitimate businesses and that they're not just these kitchens opening up in different parts of the valley that are not actually belonging to this group.
Okay, and what kind of penalties are you looking at for companies like Uber Eats, and are they fighting back at this point?
Well, initially we had looked at a criminal penalty because this is a type of fraud. You know, I think we're having conversations about what a civil penalty could look like and what fee would be appropriate.
All right, let's move on to AB 335, which is a crucial step towards providing equitable education for English learners in Nevada. What is the problem and what's the solution from your perspective?
As an educator, I think it's really important that every student has access to this high quality education, but that's not possible if schools are not planning to serve all learners, which includes our English language learners. So on the front end, this piece of legislation requires that schools are planning for their EL students. And when we're creating goals in our school performance plans, that we're also incorporating English language learners into that plan. It's allowing for a newcomer to be in our schools without giving a penalty to schools on their SBAC data or on their other testing data. So in high schools, that would be your ACTs, but without penalizing the school. Additionally, it wouldn't penalize the school if that newcomer comes to our high schools and they come to our high school and they're brand new to this country. It wouldn't penalize the school for allowing them to have a little bit of extra time to graduate. This is really important because even though the students already technically have access to continue to stay in school, schools have to feel that they have to push them out in order to support their graduation rate and make it look like they're graduating students. And so they really just try to push them out. This allows for the school to have a little bit more time so that student can really focus on learning English and learning our culture. And then they can make sure that they're ready to graduate within 5 years.
All right. So, you know, the state obviously provided over $2 billion in additional funding to the school system in the last session. As a teacher, I'm going to ask you to take off your legislator hat for a moment, but as a teacher, what changes have you seen in the last 2 years that say that this money is being used in a positive way for the school system and for educating the kids?
Well, you know, as we're increasing this amount of money into our schools, this is also funding that we're then able to use in our classrooms. So this means more resources in our classrooms, more curriculum, more supplies, and, you know,
and you, are you getting them
into their own pockets?
Yeah, are you getting them?
I definitely see the impact that this is having on our schools.
Okay, and in your classroom in particular, you're seeing it?
Yes, I mean, even, you know, with a piece of legislation that Senator Narrow Loop carried, which allowed for us to have access to Donors Choose, and we would be able to request items specifically for our classrooms. Teachers were able to request, I think, about $600 worth of materials for our specific classrooms, which has made a phenomenal impact on thousands of teachers' classrooms.
When people complain about the math and reading levels in Nevada schools, and they're doing that, of course, across the country, what's your response to folks?
We need to invest better in our education, find new revenue sources to support our students.
But I mean, specifically in those two areas, is it a money thing, or is it a curriculum thing, or what's the issue? Or are we trying to do too much?
I think we need to look at, I think there's many things that are impacting our student achievement data. One is going to be obviously, our funding, but two, having enough classroom teachers in our classrooms has a significant impact. When you're teaching 40 students, it's really hard to make sure that each student has the supports that they need to be successful. And so I think when we can address those two different issues simultaneously, we can really improve that quality of education here in the state.
And that's where we have to leave it. I thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate you being here. Come back, will you?
I'll be back soon.
Thank you. And we'll be right back.
Each day, the Children's Advocacy Alliance partners with leaders, legislators, and families across Nevada to improve children's health, education, economic well-being, and safety. We recognize Nevada will be no better than the state of its children. Be a part of this change. Be a supporter of the Children's Advocacy Alliance. For more information, go to caanv.org.
Imagine a magical garden that feeds Carson City's hungry and homeless, teaches our high school students agriculture, creates hanging floral displays to beautify downtown, and yet charges nothing. It's not magic. It's the Greenhouse Project. It's real. It's growing. And it needs your help. Go online to carsoncitygreenhouse.org so together we can grow it forward.
The Nevada Builders Alliance has been protecting the interests of the construction industry for over 50 years. Our programs save members thousands of dollars every year and allow them to provide much-needed benefits to their employees. Our industry also allows Nevada to grow. If you're thinking about a career in the construction industry, reach out. And if you haven't thought of a career in construction, what are you waiting for? We are the Nevada Builders Alliance.
When in Carson City, Nevada Newsmakers records in the conference room of the Nevada Builders Alliance. Coverage of the 2025 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, Workers' Comp, that works for you. NV Energy, proudly serving Nevada, providing electricity to 2.4 million electric customers. The Retail Association of Nevada, looking out for business. And by Story County, helping build Nevada's future.
Thanks for watching Nevada Newsmakers come to you from Carson City, from the headquarters of the Nevada Builders Alliance. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching.